When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello and welcome to the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast. I hope you're all doing well. Liam, we are in that crucial time, people scrambling to make playoffs, people arguments about rebuilds and tearing it up and all sorts of things going on at the moment. How's your week? How are you doing?
My week's not been too bad, thanks, Rich. Yeah, it's right before the playoffs in most leagues, and that probably means your trade deadline has either passed or is going to pass probably.
I feel like you're trying to
next week.
I feel like you're trying to trigger me just by mentioning a trade deadline.
Why do you think I mentioned it? It's the only reason, Rich. So, yeah. I've been making a couple of trades here and there in leagues that I'm pushing in, mostly. But yeah, it was pretty good a week for me overall, which I don't think I've said too much this year.
No, that sounds like a first, but that's good to hear. It was a tough week for me. I did all right. I was above 50% in my dynasty leagues. I won in Scott Fishbowl, one of my home leagues. So those are the main ones. But yeah, a lot of my like charity leagues and redrafter leagues and yeah, the 5 Yard Rush leagues, I'm doing terribly at the moment. So it's a good job I talk about dynasty football. But before we dive into the show, keen to remind you that support for the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below the waist grooming. We have an exclusive offer for you with 20% off and free worldwide shipping when you use the code 5YARD. Obviously, very important time of year. Lots of presents being lined up. Have a little word with the missus. It's a present for you. It's a present for her. And you can still get 20% off. Also, I heard this earlier, but it's the new skin-safe technology on Manscaped means no cuts on your nuts. enough about me talking about Manscaped, Liam. Cocktail of the week. What have we got lined up?
That's one way to transition, Rich. That's one way. So, this week I've got a Barbados sunrise. Rich, it's not pink for once. It has a little bit of grenadine at the bottom, if you can see that.
Yeah. But so, just this is going to sound really naive, and perhaps, you know, it's been a few years since I was drinking cocktails and I'm showing my naivety, but surely the bit at the bottom, you need to mix that in. Otherwise, when you get to the bottom of a drink, you're just going to end up with grenadine and nothing else.
You don't need to mix it in. I prefer not to anyway.
So are you one of those people?
I tend to leave the very last bit, but it normally mostly comes up while you're drinking it anyway. But yeah, if you wanted to make it, it was orange juice, rum, grenadine and Cointreau. So it's not a hard drink to make. It's just whack it up, or whack the three ingredients apart from the grenadine into a shaker, shake it up a little bit, and then the grenadine afterwards. Or if you like, Rich, you can stir it all as well.
Yeah. I feel like that's the way forward. You're going to tell me you're one of these people, Liam, that eats their dinner one item of food at a time. You know, mm-hmm. eats their roast potatoes, then eats their meat, then eats their vegetables or whatever.
Yeah, and I have a specific way to eat my Sunday dinner as well.
Please tell me you save the best till last. That's got to be the one.
Yes. Yeah. I do save the best till last. But I have a running joke with a couple of work friends and my girlfriend that I eat the chips first.
Hang on. We're talking about roast dinner.
No, not roast dinners. I mean, in general, whenever I eat anything else, I'll eat the chips first and then I'll eat everything else.
You almost panicked me there, Liam. I thought you were going to tell me you had chips on your roast dinner. No. I was going to have a heart attack and say you can't call it a roast if it's not got roast potatoes. So,
nah, you've got to have all the usual veg. You've got to have Yorkshire puddings. I normally have chicken, but come on, beef, lamb, pork, anything you want. Yeah,
you've not mentioned the number one meat there for a roast. So I'm disappointed.
If you're going to say gammon, I'm going to disappoint you again because I'm not a fan of gammon.
Oh, Gavin, you're not doing it right. Trust me.
How can you like gammon? You don't like things that are pink. So there's two completely polar opposites there, Rich.
The way my mum cooks gammon, it's a golden brown crackling and less pink.
I will say, if it's got a little bit of a honey glaze on it, I can get through it. And enjoy myself, but if it's just straight gammon,
I feel like we've had a lot of disagreements over our time doing things
as well.
But it's generally around drinks and food. So maybe we'll leave the food and drink content and dive into the high scorers. So, do you want to run us through who helped our teams this week?
Yes. Yeah, so, as usual, 4-point touchdowns for quarterbacks, and then PPR for every position. And that includes tight ends. So, quarterbacks, Rich, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, even though he lost, that was a heartbreaker for me. And then Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts specifically really hurts me because I started Dak Prescott over him this week in one of my leagues. I won by, I think it was 0.2 points. And yeah, Dak Prescott scored me negative points in that league.
Good process. You just got to live off that.
Yeah. No, I keep telling myself that, but Jalen Hurts is what, a top three quarterback this year. So maybe not a good process.
No, it's fine. It was the highest. Dallas, Kansas was the highest over under. I'm not sure anyone. I was joking with my mates in my home league that it was going to be over 80 points and I was willing to take any bet. Of anyone that the game was going to go over 80 points. And I'm very glad that nobody took me up on it because I looked like a complete mug after about half an hour. But I just wanted to touch on Jalen Hurts because for me, it's been slightly confusing. I think he's been having a really good year from a fantasy perspective, but everybody's kind of been resistant to buy in. He's been pretty much settled in as my sort of QB 12 to 13 all season in terms of dynasty. But it feels like, on Twitter this week and in the dynasty community this week, everybody's just suddenly gone, oh, maybe Jalen Hurts is good for fantasy and maybe he might keep his starting job. And I think for me, I've always been a believer this year that he's good enough to start somewhere. And I think that if the Eagles decide to move on, whether they, you know, draft the quarterback with all their picks, whether they enter the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes or what, I believe that whatever happens, Jalen Hurts is going to be a starting quarterback week one next year. And for me, I guess I've probably been a little bit more confident buying into him and his fantasy production, which, yes, you know, he is an elite fantasy quarterback as far as I'm concerned. But but perhaps not an NFL one. I mean, are you comfortable buying in? Do you still think there's some kind of trepidation about his long-term value?
So all the way through the season, I've been saying that I don't believe in him long-term. The Eagles have 3 first-round picks next year because the conditional second that they sent to in the Indianapolis Colts, or they got from the Indianapolis Colts for Wentz, is dependent on whether Wentz plays 75% of snaps this season, which he's almost done already. He's not that far off. I think he's a couple of weeks away from hitting that milestone. So I don't think that I ever thought that Hurts was going to have more than one season with them having 3 first-round picks. Whether that is drafting a quarterback or is entering the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes or potentially Aaron Rodgers when he leaves, because I'm under the impression that he's going to leave after this year. But my delighted surprise was now that they've started to run the ball efficiently with Howard, Boston Scott, he's been passing the ball a lot better from a tape point of view, from what I've seen.
It's amazing when you start running the ball, getting people in the box and saying, rather than throwing 40 times a game, throw 20 times a game and we'll give you wide open throws, and suddenly he looks like he can throw the ball properly.
That's my point, is they weren't worrying about the pass because they knew that they could stop the run. Whereas when they started to run the ball efficiently, they've started to be able to open up that offense completely. I mean, Devonta Smith has been amazing the past couple of weeks, and I traded him away for him a first and a second for Tyreek Hill. And yes, I'm not overly regretting it, but Devonta Smith has still been really good this year. I think with Hurts, that just shows that to every GM in the league that he can go out and do this week in, week out. And coming into the season, I did say I wouldn't be surprised, because a lot of his, or I think it was 2 of his 3 games, he threw over 300 yards last year to end the season. So I wasn't surprised that he could pass the ball. I just didn't like that offense. And I thought that if that offense stagnated for the entire year, especially under a first-year head coach, we may not have seen much of Hurts going forward, because that blame could have been put on Hurts over the first-year head coach and the poor offense. But I do like it. I don't know whether he's going to be the starter in Philadelphia next year. As you said, I don't know whether I'm as confident with you that he's going to definitely start next year. But
I think I'm willing to stand here and say I guarantee he's going to be a starter next year. I've just had a look. So there's 2 options, okay? Philadelphia are going to draft a quarterback, or Philadelphia are going to trade for a quarterback, okay? I think Philadelphia are out the point at which they're going to draft the quarterback that can start day one unless they trade up, okay? As things stand, they've got the Miami pick, which is scheduled to be the 8th. They've got their own pick, which is scheduled to be the 11th, and the Indianapolis pick that is currently scheduled to be the 16th. Okay, Miami have got a very straightforward schedule the remainder of the season. I wouldn't be shocked if Miami finished around 500. Okay, so that's going to be a pick in the mid-teens. Okay, Philadelphia are on a nice little run. They've got, you know, they end the schedule playing all the NFC East teams, which are all pretty rubbish outside Dallas. So I think that Philadelphia pick's going to end up in the mid-teens. Indianapolis are pushing for the playoffs, and they've gotten a nice little run. I wouldn't be shocked if that ended up in the, you know, in the 20s, because they're a playoff team. They're not drafting a quarterback in the teens and 20s that's going to come in and start over Jalen Hurts, because I don't think this is a strong quarterback class, and I don't think any of those guys are going to be a day one starter that the Eagles would waste a pick and say, this guy's a massive upgrade over Hurts. If they trade for Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, whoever, Jalen Hurts has got to be part of that package. You know, if the Seahawks are trading Russell Wilson, do you not think they'd trade him to the Eagles for 2 firsts plus Jalen Hurts? So then Jalen Hurts is going to be starting on the Seahawks next year. Like, I just, I just, don't see a world, unless the Eagles fall in love with a rookie QB, trade up to number one or number two and go and get him. I don't know who that quarterback's going to be, because I've certainly not been impressed by any of them so far in college this year. I just don't see a world where Jalen Hurts isn't a starting quarterback next year.
The thing that I'd say is the only situation that I can see him or Hurts not being a part of that package would be Aaron Rodgers if they, for whatever reason, traded for him. Because I have a feeling he's gone after this year in whatever capacity, however it happens. But I don't think a team would need to necessarily trade for him. I know that the Packers will put him up for trade and they'll be trying to make calls and stuff if they want to get rid of him. But I don't think that the Packers would want Jalen Hurts in that package when they've got Jordan Love.
But
I think that's just a missing defeat on a second-year quarterback going into his third year. It's not going to happen.
Do we not think, if that's the situation, do we not think then that the Eagles spin Jalen Hurts off to the Washington or Carolina for a second? I just don't see well. They've got Gardner Minshew, who's a solid backup under contract next year. I just don't see a world in which if they bring in Rodgers, they keep Rodgers, Hurts and Minshew. So I think they spin off Hurts, who's a decent asset.
Yeah.
And maybe that gets you a second or whatever. Yes, I get that, you know, the Packers chose Jordan Love over Jalen Hurts. So it would be shocking if they then traded for Jalen Hurts. But I just think for me, I'm confident Jalen Hurts is starting somewhere. And I think that, to be honest, he's massively undervalued in fantasy at the moment.
Anyway, I see your point, but let's move on.
Yeah. We've got on a massive, let's dive into the running backs.
So Jonathan Taylor had an absolutely massive week, 50 points. I think it was five touchdowns, absolutely crazy. And then we all thought when that happened, okay, Taylor's going to be the clear running back one. And then Eckler took it as a challenge to go and get the running back two role. I think he scored over 40 points. Four touchdowns, again, crazy week. And then Christian McCaffrey is back. He was the RB4 last week, RB3 this week. He's not showing signs of that injury. Rich, Christian McCaffrey is back, and Jonathan Taylor, running back dynasty one, or dynasty running back one.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week, didn't we, that Jonathan Taylor's the clear-cut dynasty RB1. I don't think anybody's arguing with you, I think, particularly at this point. I have to say, I have seen some absolutely crazy prices quoted. I saw him go in a league for, it was Jonathan Taylor for Christian McCaffrey, Cordarrelle Patterson and a first. Which, I mean, if you're getting Christian McCaffrey plus a first for any player, I think that's an interesting trade, shall we say. But I think, look, Jonathan Taylor's price is absolutely sky high. You know my thoughts. I'm always looking to sell whenever a player's, you know, the clear-cut number one at a position. I think I'm always looking to sell running backs. I think if I've got any Jonathan Taylor shares, and I do have a few and I have been asking around, I think now is the time to be just inquiring, because whilst, yes, you know, he's hopefully going to carry you to a title this year, I just think always be selling running backs.
I will put my hands up and apologise for what I said this off-season where I told you to sell Jonathan Taylor while his price was high and probably at its peak at RB3. You can get a lot more from him now than you could have done when I sold him. But yeah, he's been absolutely great this season. Moving on to the wide receivers, Justin Jefferson absolutely tore up Eric Stokes last week, or the week just gone. That was hard to watch. But then it was very nice to watch Davante Adams get a wide receiver too, and be an absolute monster as well. And then your boy, Rich, Elijah Moore is back in the top three. Look at him with his smile on his face already.
Yeah, it's pleasing to see from all perspectives. Yeah, it's just makes me happy as a Jets player, as a guy that, you know, was all over Elijah Moore in the offseason and had him ranked, I think, he's my wide receiver four, pre-draft and post-draft. I'm really, really happy with how he's performing. A little bit of a question that he obviously hasn't done it with Zach Wilson. I'm hoping we see Zach Wilson back this week and hoping that Elijah Moore continues to produce even when Wilson comes back. I also wanted to touch on Justin Jefferson. I think, you know, this is this is similar to the Jonathan Taylor, isn't it? I do think that there's a lot of, there'll be a lot of debate about the overall wide receiver one. CeeDee Lamb's fallen out of favour because he's had one bad week and got a concussion. Jamar Chase wasn't incredible this week, and so he's fallen out. So now it's Justin Jefferson. I think, look, all three of those are young studs. All three of those are, you know, the dream of any dynasty team. But I do think, look, I'm less likely to sell a young receiver when they're the consensus wide receiver one. But everything I said about Jonathan Taylor probably stands with Justin Jefferson. I do wonder if you could potentially look at selling for, you know, an absolute haul. And by that, I'm not saying sell just for the sake of it, but if you could get, you know, AJ Brown plus a first, maybe Deontay Johnson plus, if you can get CeeDee Lamb plus anything for Justin Jefferson, I'm absolutely doing that. If you can get,
I reckon you could do that right now after the week Justin Jefferson just had and CeeDee Lamb. He's not putting up goose eggs, but he's not performing what people expect from a consistent dynasty top three wide receiver if you're rebuilding. I think you could probably get a plus, probably maybe a second.
I feel like you're being a bit harsh on CeeDee Lamb there. He's the wide receiver 12 overall.
I'm not saying that he's doing badly. I'm just saying recency bias, that's not a...
Yeah. No, that's fair.
That's playing into people's minds.
I've got to be careful when you're throwing shade at my guys. So yeah.
I'm not throwing shade at anyone. Thank you very much. But I think we do need to put some sort of notice on the front of the or at the start of the show that if Rich talks about any person at peak value, he will be telling you to sell.
I've been banging this drum for 3 years. Look,
I know. I think we just need to make a recording for it. At the start of the pod, we need to say, Liam hates tight ends. Rich needs you to sell at peak value. I think that's all we need to say at the start of the show, and then we never need to say it again.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Moving on to tight ends, Zach Ertz at the top of the tight end list this week. Had a monster game for the Cardinals. Then you had Travis Kelce and Darren Waller back in the top three. Rich, I don't think there's any surprises there, really. Ertz had a great week, but that was a two-touchdown week.
Looks like a top three from 2019, doesn't it? It's back to what we know and love at the tight end position.
Definitely. The only thing I wanted to touch on across the board for highest scorers was all three top scorers, as in across all positions, the top three, were non-quarterback positions this week. That was Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, and Justin Jefferson. I think that's quite impressive, for especially if you're in super flex leagues, because they would encourage you in any matchup. So moving on to significant news, we have Chris Carson with his neck injury that I don't really know much about. I know that you said it, that it was an arthritic condition. Yeah, I mean, he looks to be done for the season, Rich.
We've talked about this 5 or 6 weeks ago, didn't we, when it first happened, and we sort of said, look, it's arthritic. That scares the crap out of me. It was compared to Todd Gurley's knee. This is the same thing for Chris Carson's neck, which is terrifying. I think, look, I'm really worried for Chris Carson. I think this is the kind of thing that you wonder. He's tried to come back from. He's not. He's now done. I do kind of wonder if that's Chris Carson's career over. You know, I don't want to write anybody off. Fingers crossed he makes it back and he makes me eat my words. But if I had any Chris Carson shares, I'm absolutely selling now, because I think I'll just take anything I can get for him, because I'm fairly convinced that he's pretty much done and the Seattle will be moving on.
Yeah, I think it's a shame for Chris Carson, because he's not been a top running back, especially for fantasy, but he has been a solid starter. I think it's just not a nice way to see anyone's season and potentially career end.
Seattle can save $3.5 million by cutting him at the end of the year as well. So, you know, it's hard to see them paying him $6.5 million. I think Seattle could potentially blow it all up and go into full rebuild. And at that point, if you can save $3.5 million from an aging running back that's not helping you much, that's probably a move you make, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. So AJ Brown has a finger, chest, and hand injury.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? So
it felt like every other minute I was getting an update saying AJ Brown's left the game to receive attention on this, receive attention on that. It's, you know, that Titans offense is just getting decimated, isn't it? Hopefully,
shame.
I know we've got a time scale here of 0 to 4 weeks. Hopefully he's all good and he's able to carry on. Part of me does wonder with the way the Titans, you know, have been, whether they sort of look at things and say, actually, maybe we just need to get healthy for a couple of weeks, shut AJ Brown down and try to kind of go again sort of week 14, 15, have a nice little run into the playoffs, yeah, and make some noise in the playoffs. I don't think they'll do that because I think NFL teams are very much, let's win this week, let's win this week. But that would be a thought that I'd certainly have.
So moving on, Justin Fields has a rib injury. I believe I saw that it was just bruise and he escaped any major injury there. So he has anywhere up to a 4 week time frame. So he could miss this week. I believe Andy Dalton has been named a starter for this week on Thursday night.
I don't know. Who knows with Matt Nagy? You know, you've named Justin Fields a starter and then he gets injured and then he comes out and they said, who's your starter if everyone's healthy? And he said, don't know. We've not made that decision yet. He's just clueless. It's a whole clueless situation. Justin Fields is a star. He looks like a star. He's going to be a star. They just need to build around him.
Michael Carter, your boy, has a possible high ankle strain. So that's a 2 to 4 week injury, Rich. I know this one's going to be hurting from a Jets fandom point of view.
Yeah, I feel like we need to chill with my boys. I'm not sure I can claim Michael Carter as one of my boys.
I suppose that's more Dan. That's more Matt from the wild card.
The fact he plays for the Jets, I'll take that. But yeah, I was lower than consensus on Michael Carter, so I think I can't claim that he's my boy.
That's very honest of you. But this one's definitely your boy. CeeDee Lamb concussion out for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, brutal. I mean, Jerry Jones came out today and said that his son, CeeDee, could still play. So, if anyone has the science to cure a concussion in 4 days, maybe it's Jerry Jones. But I think look, realistically, 4 day turnaround from a game from concussion, I think CeeDee Lamb's out, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And then some good news, Rich. We've got Tim Patrick, who you were correct on, getting a 3-year extension, but then I believe it was 24 hours later, maybe 48 hours later, Cortland Sutton followed it up with a 4-year deal. Now, I know we both thought that the Cortland Sutton deal was a little bit cheaper than we thought he would have gone for in free agency, but maybe he just wants to be a part of that Broncos team. And maybe there's been some discussions had in the background that they might be getting another quarterback next year. That is totally speculation for me, but that's the only way I can ever see Cortland Sutton not going to free agency here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I felt really good. I had 48 hours of gloating calling the Patrick contract, and Cortland Sutton's going to go in free agency. He's going to end up anywhere. And then, yeah, I get made to look like I'm a complete mug, though, now, which, let's be honest, we all enjoyed. I'm gobsmacked at this Cortland Sutton deal. I think, you know, the AAV is around $15 million a year, I believe. I mean, Kenny Golladay got $18 million a year on the open market. I think Cortland Sutton should be commanding around $20 million a year with the cap going up. I'm absolutely gobsmacked that he's basically put himself in the, you know, the Robbie Anderson, Jarvis Landry range of contracts, which is basically like wide receiver two money. Really shocked that he stayed. Really shocked that Denver's tied up more money in the wide receiver room. But even more shocked at the price tag. I think it's a fantastic deal for Denver to get a young, you know, prototypical X receiver that can go up and, you know, win those contested balls. If you get a quarterback that's perhaps willing to throw more contested balls and be a bit more ballsy than Teddy. Maybe he's the guy that can kind of potentially unlock Cortland Sutton back to be that fantasy stud that we were all buying into 2 years ago.
So staying on the contract extensions theme, Dallas Goedert got paid, Rich, 4 years contract.
Yeah, it was big money as well. What's fascinating about this contract, I tweeted out about it a couple of days ago, I don't think I've ever seen a contract quite like this. So Dallas Goedert's basically got a four-year contract, but his contract over the next 2 years, his cap hits are like $3 and $4 million. It's kind of ridiculous. It's similar money. It's 4 years. I think $57 million is the total number. But his cap hits, I've just got it open in front of me. So his cap hit next year is $3.7 million. His cap hit in 2023 is $6.6 million. And then his cap hit in 2024 and 2025 is $19.5 million. So he's basically got 3.5 years guaranteed, which most NFL contracts are 2.5 years. So I think it's really interesting that A, Philly are willing to kick that much money down the road. Yes, the cap's going to go ballistic with new TV deal and gambling rights and things. But it does make me wonder if Philadelphia has got some sort of big ambition for this offseason to basically retain, you know, a young stud tight end in Dallas Goedert, but basically say, we want to keep as much cap space for this offseason as possible and push everything into, as I say, 2024 and 2025.
I think the big thing on the Goddard contract, I'm looking at it right now as well, is his dead cap is 25.3, near enough 25.4 next year, and about 21.5 the year after, so 2023. And then it drops to 16 and then 11, where you're actually going to be saving quite a bit of cash there if you do cut him or trade him. So I think that was the big thing I noticed was you probably looking, I know that you kind of said this already, but with those cap hits and the cap going up as well and potentially significantly going up, 16 mil cap hit is going to be less than 10%. You're probably looking up to around 5 to 10% of cap, which I'm sure the Eagles won't mind if they do want to move on from him after the 2023 season.
Yeah, it's just weird though, because most NFL contracts have all that money kind of in the first two and a half years, and then after 2.5 years, you can move on. You know, if he were, you know, touch wood, this never happens, but if he were to suffer a career-ending injury next year, you know, that's an awful lot of money to accelerate on the cap if he were to retire. So, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Fingers crossed, you know, he continues to be a stud, continues to be successful over the next 3+ years, but it's an interesting way of doing things for Philadelphia.
Talking about interesting ways of doing contracts, Rich, Taysom Hill got a 4-year deal, but it was a really weird deal. I saw the wording of what was it now? Depending on what position he played.
Yeah, so it's a hybrid deal. So the way I understand it, it's a 4-year, $40 million deal. So they're paying him $10 million a year for the next 4 years. I don't know guarantees. I don't know that kind of thing. But if he is then named the starting quarterback, it basically adds an extra $55 million onto the deal. So he goes from being paid $10 million a year to, like, what's that, $25 million a year, something like that. It's slightly crazy. It's very weird. I don't get the 4-year $40 million. I can't believe there's another team in the NFL that was competing with them to pay him $10 million a year. I just can't believe there's a world. I can't believe that there was another team willing to pay him $25 million a year to be the starting quarterback. It's, as I tweeted out, Taysom Hill's agent is the single most impressive person at their job. You know, they whatever fee they're getting for negotiating that deal, they deserve a pay rise, because it is absolutely mind-blowing that he is able to continue to get the amount of money that he's getting paid to be what the backup tight end H-back that sometimes can play special teams and quarterback. It's mind-blowing. Genuinely, yeah, mind-blowing.
I honestly have no idea. It just almost, I said this in one of my leagues, it's almost like the Saints went into negotiations and said, you're not really a quarterback, you're basically our tight end, we want to pay you like that. And then the agent turned around and said, well, all of the fantasy football sites have me down as a quarterback now, so you can't pay me like a tight end because I'm a quarterback. So it's just a weird one, but I don't think I've ever seen that deal, and I don't think we'll see that deal for a very, very, very long time. Moving on, though, bye weeks to round out the significant news. We've got Arizona Cardinals and Kansas City Chiefs. So a couple of big names from those teams that aren't going to be in your lineups this week. So just remember that. Rich, Dynasty stock market time. Do you want to take us away with our first riser?
Yeah, so first riser is a guy we've discussed a fair few times this year, Darnell Mooney. His stat line from Sunday was absolutely bonkers. Okay, so let me run you through it. He had a target share of 48.5%. He saw 16 target shares, 16. However, he only caught five of them, but he had 121 yards and a touchdown. He finished as the wide receiver four on the week. He had 23.1 points. Look, I'm not the biggest Darnell Mooney believer. You know my philosophy of day three picks don't matter. I might be having to eat some crow on that when it comes to Darnell Mooney. He is absolutely balling. I'd like to point out he is still outside the top 24. You know, wide receiver day three pick never finishes top 24 players. He's currently the wide receiver 30. But if Allen Robinson's going to be out for a while, if we're going to see Darnell Mooney force fed targets at this rate, do you think that this can continue, Liam? Do you think he's a, you know, high-end wide receiver three, wide receiver four moving forward? Or do you think he's just a boom-bust deep threat that's going to have some of these weeks and then disappear others?
I think he's more than a deep threat because of the amount of targets that he's getting or he has received. I think the biggest thing for me is we're seeing Justin Herbert now being not replaced, but Andy Dalton is now the starter this week. So this to me is kind of like a clean slate for Mooney. You don't really know what's going to happen this week with him. No, I'm not a massive fan either of Darnell Mooney, like you said, but I do think he's the type of receiver that will be there one week and then won't be there the next. And I know that people aren't going to like me for this, but he reminds me very much of Terry McLaurin, but to a lesser extent. Because if you've looked at his stats this year, Rich, I know you're laughing at me, but if you look at his stats,
you know, that's lofty comparison. Terry McLaurin's like a, you know, top 15 receiver in the NFL.
I'm talking from fantasy production. I should have clarified, but yeah, fantasy production wise, he's much like a Terry McLaurin in my eyes. Probably a lesser, a cheaper version. Because if you look at his fantasy production this year, Terry McLaurin is either a wide receiver one, or he's outside of a wide receiver three, I think it is. He might be a wide receiver two in one or two weeks this season. But he's either a wide receiver one and helping you win weeks, or he's losing you a week. There's no real in-between, and I think that's what Darnell Mooney is, and probably to a lesser extent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think if you can get probably what... if I reckon you might be able to get a late first for Darnell Mooney.
If you sell him to a guy that likes him, or an owner that likes him, yes.
I think I'd probably accept a very early second. If I can get two mid-seconds, I'd do that. But I reckon you might be able to squeeze out a late first. And at that point, I'm definitely selling. The other riser, I think maybe we need to rename this the Brandon Ayuk podcast, because I think we've talked about him pretty much every week.
I'm sure we've had him, Rich, in every single one of these
risers and fallers.
Categories. We've had him in risers, fallers. I'm pretty sure one of us has had him in the player of a week at some point. We've definitely had him in the deep dive and definitely had him in the spotlight. So I'm pretty sure we have had him in near enough every single one of these segments.
Podcast favourite, Brandon Ayuk. So he's back as the wide receiver one in San Francisco when, you know, if Deebo Samuel's going to line up in the backfield and be used as a running back as much as he was, it kind of creates the ability for Ayuk to be used as that number one wide receiver. He had 35% target share. He caught all seven of his targets for 85 yards and a touchdown. He finished as the wide receiver eight on the week with 21.5 points. I think he's out of Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. I really liked him at the beginning of the year. I did buy him in three or four spots. Once the world fell off him and you could get him for a second round pick, I'm back in. I'm fully back in now. He's up to my wide receiver 23 in Dynasty. I think he's a solid wide receiver two for your dynasty teams. Are you fully back in, Liam?
Yeah, I was trying to buy him when he had that really down period. I tried sending Claypool for him and amongst other deals and just couldn't get it done. I think a lot of people, at least in the leagues that I was in, kind of saw through what was happening with Ayuk at the start of the season. But yeah, I'm just not happy that I didn't get any shares of him from that down period. I think that he is back. The one thing I would consider is Debo maybe stops playing running back as much when they actually have running backs that are healthy. What does that do to the target share? But if that target share takes a 10% hit, that's still a 25% target share. And I'm so happy with that.
I think for me, look, the way this offense moves is that Ayuk and Kittle are the two target leaders. I think they're going to run the ball. But to me, Debo Samuel is the movable piece that, you know, can get 10 targets a week, can line up in the backfield 5 times, 10 times or whatever. But I really believe that Brandon Ayuk, of course, he's going to be boom bust. You know, that anyone in that offense is going to be boom bust. But I do think that he's, for me, back to being a solid, you know, reliable wide receiver 2-3 from a dynasty perspective. So moving on to the fallers. So just wanted to give a quick shout out to Kyle Pitts. So he, despite seeing, you know, 16% target share, didn't get it done again. He's now the tight end 8 on the season. Look, I love Kyle Pitts. I think he's incredible. I really believe in the talent and think he's going to be a stud for a long time. But look, I said that he wasn't going to finish as a top 5 tight end this year, and here he is sat as the tight end on the season. It's hot, starting to see maybe a little bit of that sheen just wipe off slightly. I still think he's, you know, he's tight end 2 for me in Dynasty, but I just think that, look, he's not at the consistent, you know, week in, week out performance of a Kelce and the other elite tight ends.
Right, Rich, listeners, you need to make sure you're sitting down. If you drive in, pull over a little bit, because I'm about to go and defend a tight end here. Rich, you need to stop the slander, mate. Seriously. So, a couple of stats for you. First, Pitts hasn't scored a touchdown since the Jets game in London that we were both there for. And that is his only touchdown on the year. Yes, you could put that down to him. But at the same time, who else is in that offense? You've got Cordell Patterson, who up until this season wasn't really anything, and no one else. Calvin Ridley's not there anymore. He was there to start the year, but he wasn't really as effective as you would want. Yes, he had a 16% target share and only caught 3 balls. But if a 16% target share is only fetching 5 targets, that's not a whole lot. They're not throwing the ball a lot. I think that whole offense is struggling in general, let alone Pitts. The other thing I want to say is they didn't have their best player on offense, which is Cordell Patterson at the moment. Talented wise, I'd say Pitts is more talented. I think everyone would. But at the moment, Patterson is the best player. And they didn't have him this week. They didn't have Calvin Ridley. They were relying on Quadre Olison. Wayne Gallman scored minus fantasy points because I had him in one of my lineups because I had no better options, which says everything you need to know about that roster. I think with Pitts, he had a really tough game because he would have been doubled on most of his routes because they really didn't need to double Russell Gage, Omalade Zaccheaus, I believe is the name. I set myself up for failure there, didn't I, trying to pronounce that? And then really, did they need to stack the box against Wayne Gallman, Quadre Olison?
I don't disagree. And as I said,
I love this game for him.
But it's 2 or 3 off games in a row. And I think that, look, this is what you expect from a rookie tight end. And this is where I'm cautious of the price. I think in 2 years' time, Cole Pitts is going to be a week-in, week-out fancy stud, no questions asked. But at the moment, I just think that from a redraft perspective, those people drafting him as a top four tight end was ridiculous. And I think that people valuing him as the tight end one in Dynasty before he'd even stepped on the field was ridiculous. No, I get that you're saying that Cole Pitts has only got one touchdown, okay? But to me, that's a lot of his fault, okay? Do you know how many red zone targets he's had this year? He's had 10 red zone targets, okay? Do you know what his stat line is on those targets?
Go on, I feel like you're going to tell me anyway. So
he has caught two passes for 9 yards and one touchdown.
Okay, that's not great. But I would want to go in. This is why I'm more of a tape guy than analytics, because I would want to go and see those 10 targets and see what happened on each play.
That's fine. But he's seen 5 targets inside the 10. He has caught 2 of those for 9 yards and a touchdown. Like, we can sit here and say, he's had a bad week. He'll bounce back. Fine. I still believe in talent. He's my tight end 2 in Dynasty. But I just think we do this every year. We get so excited about these rookies that we overhype them to the point that it is ridiculous.
I don't disagree with you on the value and the hype. I really don't. That's my point, is I really don't, but I think you're burying him way too much for being the tight end 8 on the season with one touchdown.
Yeah, okay.
He's got one touchdown. If he had 4 touchdowns, I don't have the stats in front of me and it'll take me a while to get to them, but if he had 4 touchdowns, I bet he would be in the top 5 easily.
Possibly.
Especially with how the tight end rankings and the tight end points are, I'd easily put him in the top 5 in scoring. I'm not saying that, he hasn't scored those 3 extra touchdowns, but I think that he's seeing the targets. The issue is in the red zone, you have 2 targets on that offense that you need to cover with essentially 6.
But the problem is
players, Cordell Patterson and Pitts. And if you cover both of them, Matt Ryan's not going to run it in. Russell Gage going to be trusted to score the touchdown. Zacchaeus.
So Cole Pitts, we've had 10.
He's inherited a really bad offense, and that's the issue. Yeah.
That's fine. But so far, we've had 10 weeks that he's played this season, okay? He has finished as a top 12 tight end, the minimum for a guy that you're expecting to start every week, 4 times. So you had 6 times where he has been a negative for your fantasy team. That's the issue with overhyping these rookies, okay?
And let me correct you there. That's the issue with the tight end position. In general, you have no idea who is going to be a top 12 tight end any week. And if we carry on with this, we're going to keep arguing. So let's move on, Rich.
Right. So the last fooler, and it hurts me to do this because I really love watching him, is Russell Wilson. He was the QB25 on the week. He scored 8.5 fantasy points. Look, he doesn't look right. I can't put my finger on it. If it's just this mallet finger, if he's getting old and he's less mobile and that's what he relies on, if it's the offense, but maybe he's unhappy and he just doesn't want to be in Seattle anymore, but it just does not look right. And that whole situation is just going south, isn't it?
I think we can copy and paste a lot of what I said with the Falcons offense over to the Seattle offense in terms of the run game. Looking at the wide receivers, obviously you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, which is a massive upgrade on Russell Gage and Zacchaeus. Or Tarjay Sharpe is the other wide receiver I forgot in Atlanta. But Russell Wilson doesn't have a running game to help him. And we all know that, or at least if you've been watching football for the past year or two, you will probably know by now that Pete Carroll loves to run the ball. And Rashad Penny hasn't done anything, which I kind of was hoping for this season, but Rashad Penny hasn't done anything. Alex Collins is their lead back and he's not doing anything. Quite frankly, basically copy and paste everything I said against for the Falcons about if you don't have a run game, what does it do to the pass? Paste it for the Seahawks. They don't have a run game. So any defense can just rush for, drop back. And if they do run the ball, yeah, they might get 2 yards, 3 yards if the D-line is wary of it. If they're passing the ball, you've got, seven players in defense in coverage? And you've only really got two targets. Maybe you've got Everett open on a play, but that's it. I think he did rush himself back from injury, and that's probably playing into it right now because he did come back early, and there were a couple of people I've seen online that have said it's the quickest they've seen. So I believe Edwin Pereiras that we had on the pod during the off-season said that it's the quickest he's ever seen anyone from come back from that injury. And sorry, Edwin, if that wasn't you and I'm mixing you up with someone else, but I think he is rushing himself back to try and get into the playoffs because that is such a hard division that he needed to be back week 10 really to make a push. With these two losses, I wouldn't be surprised if Russell Wilson either didn't play or got shut down closer to the end of the season if the Seattle Seahawks do come to some sort of agreement with him to keep him next year. So I don't know how you feel about that, Rich, but I think with them being, I believe it's 3-7, 3-8 now, 3-7, 3-8.
I'm keeping very good track. I'm keeping very good track of the Seattle record because we've got their first round pick. Currently the number 6 overall pick, I believe. I really believe it's kind of entering a blow it all up situation in Seattle unless it gets turned around very quick. I think we could see Pete Carroll on the door. I think we could see Russell Wilson get traded and it all heads south. And I'm really sorry for Jamal Adams because he was desperate to go to an elite team. And has ended up not doing so. So the players of the week. So my player of the week, I'm going to go first, Liam. We saw all the hype about Jonathan Taylor. We saw all the hype about Austin Ekeler. I wanted to highlight another guy that just keeps producing. He was the RB5 on the week, and that's DeAndre Swift. The guy just, he's a home run anytime he touches the ball. He's the one shining light in Detroit. And I think that he's just a stud and I'm really excited about him. He's the RB5 on the season currently. And I just think he's still undervalued. I think the price of Jonathan Taylor is just going sky high. For me, DeAndre Swift is there or thereabouts. Yes, he's a bit cheaper, but I think you can probably get him a lot cheaper than you can Jonathan Taylor right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can get him a lot cheaper. And although I wouldn't have him probably in the same tier as Taylor right now, I think that he's the tier down and I wouldn't mind paying a lot less for the tier down from Jonathan Taylor. I don't really have anything to say other than he has been really good this season. And if you can get him for that much cheaper price to Jonathan Taylor and still get the production, why not? I mean, I've tried, and unfortunately, the owners that I've talked to are a little bit smarter than what we probably perceive as consensus. But yeah, I think Swift is carving out the Dynasty RB2 wrong. So moving on to my player of the week, Rich. We've spoken about him a little bit before, so we won't take too long on him. But Austin Ekeler, I believe both of us were pretty high on him in the offseason. I had him in a lot of leagues where I thought taking him as a back-end RB1 was criminal, and he's proving me correct. He has been absolutely insane for the Chargers. He went for 50 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns, and then had 65 yards in the air with 2 touchdowns on 6 receptions. Richard, what do you think about Austin Ekeler? Because he has been immense, but I am wary of his age currently. Yes, he's on he's still got 3 years left on his deal. But I am wary of his age right now because he's 26, turning 27 soon.
Yeah, I think, look, it's difficult for me to sit here and talk about ages when it comes to running back, because I know there's a lot of studies around this is, you know, the cliff for running backs, and I am team always be selling running backs, but it sounds slightly ridiculous, but Austin Ekeler is a young 26 in that he was obviously, you know, eased into the NFL as an undrafted free agent. He didn't get used, that sort of bell cow usage that we're seeing like a Najee Harris in the rookie season. Yes, he still does have 2 years left on his contract after this year, but they're basically dirt cheap. So it's $6.5 million next year and $7.2 million in 2023. And the Chargers can get out of that contract basically at any point they want and save money. But I think when a guy's producing like this, I don't see the Chargers getting rid of him. I think he's RB2 on the season at the moment, I believe.
I think he might be RB3 because Derrick Henry is still somehow RB2 or something along those lines.
He might have just overtaken him this week. But I think, look, I've got Austin Ekeler. He's my RB8 in Dynasty. I think he's a great win-now buy that's not such an obvious win-now buy, if you think, because I think he can probably still help you next year. If you're looking beyond that, then yes, I'm probably starting to get a bit nervous. But I do think that he's the type of back that will age reasonably well, in that obviously the vast majority of his production comes in that receiving game, which does kind of insulate his value slightly.
Yeah, so you were correct. He did hop above Derrick Henry this week, and Najee Harris just jumped above Derrick Henry to be the RB3 of the year.
I'm just going to clip that, Liam, and save it just as a little, you know, I can play it on the soundboard.
Little sound bit, yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Here we go. Just wait until I clip everything that you say there. So he's also the RB3, Austin Ekeler is, in points per game, right, behind Derrick Henry, who is the RB1, and Jonathan Taylor, who is the RB2. So you're basically copy and paste the top three across both. It's pretty insane how well he's done this year. And yeah, I'm just glad that I was right on him. But as you said, in Dynasty, if I'm looking 2 years on, I'm probably selling him now to try and get probably, I think, a great deal for any rebuilding team would be Ekeler for Javonte Williams.
Shocking. You had to get your Javonte mention into the
podcast. Of course.
I think, look, if I'm not a contender, of course I'm selling, because I'm selling all my running backs. If I'm a contender, I'm keeping him. And I think he's the problem is that it's not one of these guys that I can sit here and say he's a must sell, you know, because he's at the peak of his value, because I don't think Austin Ekeler is valued as that top 10 back that we're both discussing. I think you can probably get him cheaper.
Unfortunately, there's not a sound bite I can take from that, because there wasn't enough for me to take from you saying you can't sell him at peak value right now.
Well, there
that would have been a rare occurrence.
We'll leave that. The deep dive player of the week. Perhaps not as deep as I'd like, but
as usual, then, Rich.
Well, you know, you led the way with shallow players in the deep dive, so it's going to be Michael Gallup. And the reason I wanted to highlight Michael Gallup is that Michael Gallup is a free agent in the offseason. I think a lot of people are penciling in to leave. I don't know if Dallas are going to want to be paying. You know, obviously they're paying Amari Cooper big money. They've got CeeDee Lamb due in a couple of years. They've got money, you know, allocated to Dak and Zeke and that offensive line, and they've still got issues in the defense that need addressing. So I don't know if they've got the luxury of paying a third wide receiver. So are we going to see Michael Gallup go for big money in free agency? Well, I think what happens this week could go a long way to determine how much he gets in the offseason. 2 years ago, before the Dallas Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup was kind of a Twitter darling and one of those young breakout receivers who was going to go and be a stud. And the drafting of CeeDee Lamb kind of put that on the back burner. He's now getting an opportunity with Amari Cooper out with COVID and CeeDee Lamb out with concussion to be the wide receiver one on a pass-first offense, you know, that should hopefully produce. And it'll be really interesting to see what he can do in the matchup in this week. And if he does ball out, I do think we could see him, you know, in a good landing spot, hopefully, getting paid big wide receiver one money in that, you know, $16 to $18 million range at the end of the season.
I said this at the start of the season, and I said it when he got injured. I think Michael Gallup is a great buy, and he will go somewhere. I don't think he will be a wide receiver one on any team, but I think getting to be a wide receiver two on any team will be great for him. I think we've seen enough from Gallup to show that he has the talent there, and I don't think anyone's denying the talent, but I think a lot of people kind of forget, because he's such a boom bust play in that offense, because CD Lamb and Amari Cooper come first. Yes, there is no Cooper this week. There's not going to be any Cooper for Thanksgiving. But I think Michael Gallup is about to go up in price. And if you can get him right now, you're probably getting a discount on where he'll be after Thanksgiving, because he will be the wide receiver one there.
Yeah, I think it's a good sneaky, you know, I've been talking about him as a buy for like 3 or 4 weeks because of the fact he's a free agent at the end of the offseason. But I do think that you can probably buy now, and the person selling probably thinks you're just after him for this 1 week, because it could be a boom week this week. But actually, I think he's going to, you know, go up in value when he does hit free agency. I do think he's going to be a priority free agent for some team in the offseason. And I'm really excited about him moving forward next year. So I do think it's a good opportunity to go and have a look and see if you can steal him away before that big blow up.
Definitely.
So the spotlight player of the week, Liam, this is a player we want to dive a little bit deeper into. So I'm going to go completely. Normally we go someone a little bit under the radar. I'm going to go big name. I'm going Christian McCaffrey. Okay. So as we said, he had another, you know, fantastic week. He is currently the RB4 in points per game. I think that the sheen has come off him a little bit. I think that he was held up as that dynasty RB1. People like me saying, you've got to sell Christian McCaffrey, must sell, must sell, must sell, must sell. And I think that now with Jonathan Taylor blowing up and DeAndre Swift looking good, and I think his price has plummeted. And I do think that it might be, dare I say it, a little bit of a sneaky buy window for Christian McCaffrey. If you're a contender, I reckon you might be able to steal him away for maybe 2 firsts plus in a Superflex league, which, you know, we were talking at the beginning of the season, he was in that 3 firsts, maybe even 4 firsts range. And I think that people are valuing him in that RB4, RB5 dynasty range. And I just think it might be worth going and asking the question about Christian McCaffrey, because I still believe he is a stud this year and next.
I don't think he is a buy right now. I've tried, this is just personal experience, but I've tried to buy him in the main league that I'm contending in this year. I'm making a full push. I've sold like a first and a bunch of seconds. And turned guys like Joe Burrow into Tom Brady plus to make a proper push into going for the playoffs. I inquired about McCaffrey. It's actually a 3-copy league, so I had 3 different owners to go to, and every single one of them turned down Gibson plus a first, and it looks to be a mid-first. It's crazy. I don't think that he's a buy right now. What I will say is I do think he is a good sell, but I also think he's a good sell just before free agency. I think that your window is anywhere between now and free agency, potentially after this week when he has another monster week and people think he's back, is anywhere after that point up until free agency, because you have no idea what's happening in free agency, what they're going to do with Sam Darnold. If Sam Darnold is the starter, people are going to see that as a blemish on his record, essentially, on Christian McCaffrey's record, because no one's going to know whether Darnold actually helped Christian McCaffrey in his production or not, because we haven't really seen him with Christian McCaffrey. And if they bring in Cam Newton, that is going to be a plus. If they bring in Aaron Rodgers, Russ Wilson, if for whatever reason they trade for Jalen Hurts, I think that would still be a plus. I think the only way that they could ever, like the Panthers, could ever screw up fantasy value for Christian McCaffrey is bringing in a Andy Dalton or someone along those lines. And they are going to do that. So
they're paying Sam Darnold $18 million next year. Exactly. They're not moving from Sam Darnold to Andy Dalton. They're the only way they're going somewhere else is if it's a big upgrade. I think, look, I love Christian McCaffrey, but I've been banging on the drum saying that he's a sell for the last 2 years. And I think that, you know, hopefully you did sell at peak value. But I just think I sold a share. I was holding on to him because I was trying to scrape into the playoffs in a Devy league I'm in. And I've just sold him straight up for CeeDee Lamb.
Of course you did.
It made sense. But I just think that, to me, his value has taken a hit this week, despite the fact that he's the RB4 in price. We'll have maybe a study or something on Twitter. Maybe we'll ask the people to try.
Yeah. We'll have to put that out to the people.
Absolutely. So have you got a mailbag question this week, Liam?
We do. So this is from Andy, or at FPL Mode on Twitter. Rich, this one is going to be a quick fire round for you. So trade or keep? I just want one answer. I don't care which one it is.
I'm rubbish at lightning rounds. This is not a good setup.
This is the setup because I want to see how you do with it. So Amari Cooper, trade or sell? Or trade or keep?
But it depends on the cost. But I think you've got to keep him because I think the fact he's not playing this week means his price is reduced. But I value Cooper as a early first in Superflex leagues. So I'd sell for less. I'd sell for more.
You're awful at lightning rounds. Yes. Let's try again. T. Higgins.
I think he's potentially a sell. My whole thing is that I can't do buy or sells without context. I rant at people on Twitter for saying buy this player, sell this player. I can't now do it on a podcast.
I get the context thing. I really do. This was meant to be a quick round because we've gone over the hour mark.
Okay, right. I think T. Higgins is interesting because I think that at the moment his hype and potential is outshadowing his production, which to me means he's potentially a sell.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just looking at the Tyler Boyd contract. I believe he has an extra couple of years, so... it's just loaded now. So yeah, he has an extra 2 years after this year, where he's got about $2 million and a $1 million dead cap. So he could be gone, but I very much doubt that they've cut him there in Cincinnati. Last name for you, Aaron Jones.
I think you've got to hold him right now because he's injured, so you're not getting fair value. I think he's still a top 10 dynasty running back. Potentially when he's back, maybe you look at selling him because I do think next year is going to be his last year of elite production in Green Bay. And that could be, you know, up in the air what the Green Bay look like if Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he's a sell as soon as he's back producing. But you can't sell now because he's sat on buy and nobody's paying top dollar for someone that's not going to help him this week.
Yeah, I think Aaron Jones is a sell either when he gets back from a buy and produces or at the start of next season, because I think people will see a couple of years left on his contract or 3 years left on his contract and won't really bat an eyelid. But when they realise that those last 2 years of the three remaining isn't very costly to cut, I think they'll start to change the tune. But that won't happen until mid to late of the season, so... If you can sell him start of next year when the hype's high, go for it.
There you go. See, so you hijacked my lightning rounds to make it slower then, Liam.
Oh, here we go. You made that slow yourself. That could have been a 20-second round, but no, you just had to make it 5 minutes.
I can't criticise people for doing buy this player, sell that player without context, and then, do it myself.
I do get that.
But thank you very much for listening this week, guys. Don't forget, the 5-Yard Dynasty podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. You can get 20% off and free worldwide shipping using the code 5YARD. It is Christmas time. Make sure you're adding it on your Christmas list. Santa might bring it in a sack for you. Who knows? Also, you know, continue to check out the great work over at 5YARD. There's some exciting stuff. The episode 500 dropped earlier in the week with Stocks, Murph and Lee. Obviously an incredible accomplishment. Hats off to the guys. They've created a fantastic platform that, you know, we all enjoy, listen to and reap the rewards of getting to talk to you guys because of the work that they've put in. So please go and listen. It's been fantastic, you know, talking to you, and hopefully the next 500 is just around the corner. But best of luck this week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. I hope you're all, you know, hopefully got Thursday or Friday off so you can watch an entire evening of football. But we will see you again next week.
HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.